We are recording the pre-show for, what, 533?
Yep. 533.
Give up IPA.
Give up
Hazy IPA from East End Brewing. That's what we're drinking here in the pre-show. It has crabs on the label. I'm not sure why. I don't think it's any kind of Maryland crab or anything, but I don't know.
Whatever's got Old Bay in it.
not detectable.
Let's see. East End Give Up.
Trash Bag Cycling Club, Pittsburgh. Guess there's a cycling club called Trash Bag? I don't know.
I guess Give Up is, we're proud partners of Give Up for a while, so Give Up is some organization.
Gotcha.
Hazy IPA with Citra, Simcoe, and Idaho 7 hops, 6.1% alcohol by volume. Still feel like this is, I feel like I can hear it cutting.
Okay.
Well, let's see. How about me? Does it?
We're at the default settings.
Check.
You want me to turn down the noise gate?
Yes. I want you to turn down the noise gate.
Okay.
Because I just heard it cut out there.
Thanks.
If I'm, is it, no, don't want to have like be fully enunciating in there all the time in order for it to hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I go like that, see it. Hear that?
What? Can't hear me. All right, let me find the noise gate.
Nothing.
Here's the gate.
Wow.
That's the high pass filter. That's not the noise gate.
You heard that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
That's the noise gate. Nope, that's the DSR. Noise gate. Threshold minus 37.
Whoa. Okay. Well, yeah. I think we got it. There you are.
Okay, cool.
Hello.
Yes. Be. Is that where you want the noise gate?
Yeah, because
43.8. Okay.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello.
I think that's good because you want it to be able to capture the as you're leaving whatever it is you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a decent area for the noise gate.
Hello.
Right. We'll go with that.
Cool.
Let me see. Is there a save button? Does it save that automatically? Oh, we're recording, so I'll check it when we're done. Well, like I don't have all the same buttons because it's in record mode.
So the stuff I was going to show off during the show because I think it's more fun that way. But okay. I do have a gift for you.
Ooh.
Because it's stuff that came up while I was doing it. And if it's like, I don't need those.
Fire card from Wazoo. Is this...
The Rain.
Is that part? Oh, Right and Rain. Okay.
I got a bundle. So I was like, I'll give you one. But those fire cards, I was like, I don't really need them, but I bet you'd enjoy.
So scrape edge of card to make coin size pile of shavings. Spark, lay card corner on shavings and ignite or simply touch card to open flame.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, it doesn't actually make the spark. It's just a fire start.
Yeah, it's a fire.
It's the kindling. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were going to show me some magic. This thing is the flint also or some shit like that. But no, that's still cool. I mean.
That's neat.
I mean, it's, you know, if you want to keep. Yeah, just,
it's probably waterproof too,
yes.
Right?
So
Oh, wow. You so you can keep it in your wallet.
Yeah, you just keep it in your wallet. And if you ever need like an emergency.
Fire starter.
Put it right next to my condoms.
And then that's just no
waterproof paper. Yeah.
Oh, those are good for geocaching.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. As long as you don't wash your wallet, those fire cards will be good.
No, yeah, you can wash them fine because they're also
waterproof.
Yeah, they're waterproof. So, yeah, no, they, you know, it's like the thing where you're like, as I'm doing stuff, I'm like, oh, that'd be a nice gift. I'll just get that.
Cool. Very cool. Thank you.
Yeah, so we talking about us being gone. No, we didn't go to Florida and Alabama because Shannon had some conflicts. So we'd probably be around for your next show, right?
Yeah, it's next weekend.
It's next Saturday at 1 p.m. is when the show officially starts. If you wanted to catch the 101 show, that's happening. You could get there at 11 a.m. Yeah. I'll probably be there for that just to cheer him on.
Yeah.
But I've also starting 301 right afterwards.
Okay.
And the 301 show, should you be interested, is June 6th.
Oh, that's when you're leaving?
Allie graduates on the 5th. I have that surprise birthday party on the 6th, but it's later in the afternoon.
We'll be on that side of town.
Right. And then I fly to Seattle on the 7th. Probably work out.
You know what time of day that is?
Yeah, probably about the same time, huh?
I think that's probably an 11 a.m. show. Probably. Give me a second to confirm. But, dang it, this calendar sucks. Okay, 301 show is, oh no, it's a 1 p.m. show.
Okay.
Actually, that makes it even easier because we can go straight from there.
Yeah, we'll go to your show, then we'll go to the surprise birthday party.
But here's the thing.
We won't say who it's for because they definitely
It's a surprise.
Listen. Yes. Don't, wouldn't want word to get back to them.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. I'm starting 401 right after. The first 401 class opened. Mm-hmm. And I was I'm signing up. And there are two shows in 401. So the first show is Saturday, July 11th, 11 a.m. And the second show is Saturday, August 8th.
Oh, wow.
11 a.m. So I know my sister is coming in for that weekend, so she's going to be at the first show, and my dad might be there at the second show. But those, I think, are going to be the best shows of all, because those are, much more, everyone's really experienced.
Is there going to be anything after 401, or are you, graduated from the school of...
401 is the end of the curriculum, as it were. So, but that doesn't mean that there wouldn't be other... at that point, hopefully they might even start a Herald team or two. Mm-hmm. And certainly the 401 people would be probably pretty, I think I still have to try out for it, but I think I'd be on a short list of people to do it. Nice. If I didn't get in there, I would probably look around at other improv places, see what I could do, because I think I want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool. It's our Comedy Greg podcast.
It is definitely interesting how much better all of us have gotten, and it's just I know I'm better at it now, but I also know a lot more about, okay, why didn't this work so well?
Yeah,
something happens, but there's also things like, as you're doing it, you're very much criticizing yourself afterwards for things. I went to an improv jam is something they do every so often, where it's much less structured, but it's just anybody can join, and even if you have no improv experience, you can get up and go on stage. But I went to the last improv jam and I got complimented for a scene a couple people complimented me for what I was doing in a scene. I was I was thinking to myself after the scene, man, I wish I would have done that better. So it is true that if you just follow some of the regular rules, it'll just be funny naturally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if you think oh, I could
have. Yeah. You're could have been twice as good.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the 201, you mentioned, prior, I'll just give this background for people listening, that, in your 101 class, you hadn't gone over or been taught callbacks, right? So there was no expectations of callbacks. Mm-hmm. And there was the one part where I mentioned to you, it would have been really cool to see this callback from earlier. And you mentioned you didn't do it. The question is, what tools of 201 are what's your favorite tool that is new in 201?
The favorite tool is backline support.
Okay.
Which is that the backline can not only jump into a scene like a walk-on, but also can just shout out something that would define the scene better. Mm-hmm. Just shout out something that would add something to the scene, just to, if there is something there that can work. There's a lot more things that the back line is now taught to be able to do to be as supportive in the scene as the people who are in the scene themselves, instead of just sort of watching it happen and jumping in, maybe jumping in if you see something. But I think that's probably but also we're doing our own edits. So I don't know if you, on the 101 show, our teacher was just doing a blackout every time a scene would end. Mm-hmm. We are doing the edits. The only blackout is going to be at the end of the show. But what we're doing is kind of a very basic kind of half herald, I guess you could call it, where we're going to be doing first beats. We're going to do three monologues. After we get a suggestion, we're going to do three monologues. And then from that, that will inspire three beats. First, we'll do a first beat of story A, first beat of story B, first beat of story C. Then we'll do second beats, which are either what are called time dashes, so like the same characters but a different time, mm-hmm. or analogous situation, so different characters but the same game. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to repeat the same game in the second beats, and then we're doing third beats. Mm-hmm. And each time, the scenes should get shorter and quicker, and the game should be hit faster, is the idea.
Okay. Yeah, because you're finding the funny and stuff in the mm-hmm. first one, so you have to feel it out, explore. You know, one of your seed mates walks in with this ridiculous scenario. You're like, okay, I got to figure out what the rules are, right? And that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you don't want to, you want the ridiculous scenario to happen organically out of a normal scenario. So that's why you don't want to walk in necessarily ridiculous.
Yeah.
You want to set up a base reality first, because that gives you more, not only more space to find the game, it also gives you more places to, more ways to rest the game, mm-hmm. which can give you more ways to find new things.
Yeah.
To
like there was, in your first show, there was two times I think an apartment came into play, but mm-hmm. like the one I'm trying to remember, it wasn't the serial killer apartment. It was the other apartment, but like it was pretty absurd, right? And it took some time to not just figure out what the person who seeded that thought was, but for you all to agree on what the yes. reality was, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, because but it was pretty absurd at the on the onset, so it was fun to okay, what's our reality? Mm-hmm. Figure this out. So
one thing you may notice is. Two important things that we're really learning and we're trying to hammer home is identification and justification. So the identification is sort of to help everyone sort of find the game. So it's like when that interesting thing happens, immediately you want to identify it and like say it like, oh, so you take everything way too seriously would be just mm-hmm. a very basic example. Mm-hmm. And then the second person you would justify by saying, yes, because I was adopted. I don't know, like, and then oh, you suddenly have a game and also a justification that you can play off of.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I can't wait to see it. That'll be really fun. It's, see how much everybody's evolved.
Yeah, everyone's evolved and improved, and you know, I think it's just going to get better and better. Again, I think that like the 301 show is going to be the one that's the most cohesive because it's going to be a full like. Legit Herald is the idea, but then the 401 shows are two is the Herald workshop, so it's gonna be even more experienced working on stuff, getting better at it. So those 401 mm-hmm. shows are going to be delightful, I imagine.
So there's like almost a month between the first show of
yeah it's exactly a month yeah
are you guys going to be yeah that's what I was gonna ask mm-hmm. are you meeting and practicing and stuff between those two shows
for on the 401?
Uh-huh.
Well, we're doing weekly classes every week.
Yeah, and the first show's halfway through the session?
Yes,
the
first show's
okay.
halfway
through. Oh, gotcha. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's very cool.
Sweet.
I know. I'm like super, I'm super pumped.
Awesome. Can't wait to see what you make of it. Can't wait to see what you figure out after 401, because I mean, that'll be interesting,
yeah.
cool. Like, I don't know, like if you guys get a group of people and are entertaining enough, then
who knows?
You could just go like, you know, like, you know, crash mob, like a bar or something. And do
yeah.
a scene.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you get good enough, then you can break this skill out mm-hmm. At any time, as long as, I mean, if you get really good at it, you can even do it. On your own, I've seen like people who can like do it with somebody who's not done improv and still get them to go along.
Yeah.
But that's like people who are like,
yeah, people that are
like Ben Schwartz or something like that. Someone who has you know, 20 years of experience doing this shit. But if you get decently good at it, yeah, you can jump up there with anybody and just
that's cool.
rock and roll.
Do they do improv at City Winery? I think they probably.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. They're pretty. Just music based.
And I sent you, by the way, before I also sent you guys
Big Grande. Yeah.
Big Grande.
I hadn't had time to check the calendar. Those are those guys we saw at Bottle Rocket with Greg that one time.
Oh, okay. I didn't know and you weren't home and I didn't respond because
I forgot about it. Interested. I'll have to see if her calendar's clear.
Oh, and see if it's not sold out already.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And Big Team 2, which has some one of my absolute favorite improviser right now, Carl Tart, on it.
Okay.
And there's also a bunch of people like, you know, Ify Nwadwe from Dropout is on that team.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's such a great show.
We were driving somewhere a couple weekends ago and I had Comedy Bang Bang on and she's like listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
And she realizes there's not really any point, you know, and she's like, is this improv? I'm like, yeah.
Improv.
Yeah, I was just kind of half listening to it. I was probably playing games on my phone or something at the same time and just kind of partially listening. And then, yeah, that's when, it took a little bit for me to be like, wait.
Well, you don't realize there's not really a point for quite a while anyway.
Well, that's true. But I mean, I think most people would have picked up on it a little sooner than
well,
I did.
Well, as they say, they are a ground beefing podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I understand what that.
Instead of groundbreaking, they're
ground, oh, ground beefing. Beefing. Okay.
That came up because someone was saying groundbreaking and they misspoke and all this. And that just.
Now it's a thing.
Now it's a thing.
Now it's a bit.
Yeah.
Kind of like Sour Meat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, everything's a bit.
Yeah, that is, you know, in order to do a show like that, and if you, you know, Big Grande, if you watch them or listen to their podcast, it's all about radical agreement, and yeah, anything, any sort of slip up becomes something.
Mm-hmm.
A slight word slip up. That's how Slablo Picasso came out. And like, yeah, just a whole bunch of stuff. It's such a, yeah, I love that scene. So,
Matt, real quick, imagine the universe where this misspeech is the thing that actually happened, and create the universe around that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. One of the things that we've been catching on YouTube, it's not improv related, but it is comedy related, is a couple people, Jimmy Carr and Taylor Tomlinson, are like, instead of putting like their stand up acts on YouTube, they do a segment of their show where they're doing crowd work. And they put that on YouTube like a lot and like all the time. And those have been really fun to watch.
I guess that's a good way for a comedian to sort of get their name out there and show they're funny without giving their act away.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it's a good idea.
And then you got like Josh Johnson he basically does a different monologuing act every night and puts it all up on YouTube. It's wild.
He's fantastic.
And then like, Giancarlo, he was also he was the villain of the Game Changer episode.
Oh.
The crowd, yeah, he's really funny too.
Mm-hmm.
And he does the same thing, I think, on YouTube.
Yeah, I like Taylor Tomlinson.
Yeah, the Taylor ones are pretty funny. The show
She's hilarious.
His is less like heckle crowd. Jimmy Carr is a lot of heckler crowd work where he'll put the crowd back in their place. Taylor just gets texts for certain prompts, and it's usually like, you know, the first time you had sex or, you know, stuff like that. And just people put it into ridiculous situations. And then it's Taylor and some co-comedian and they kind of just riff on and find the funny and so good.
Yeah. Well, Giancarlo isn't really mean. He took that persona for the episode, but that's not his real comedy style. Yeah. But Jimmy Carr is definitely mean.
He can be mean, but he actually has way more heart than I thought he had. Like in watching these, I don't know. Like
Jimmy Carr?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean every comedian. Yeah, I mean Jimmy Carr like has a very distinct point of view. But you're not going to win over the audience by just being a dick. I guess you could have if you were like Andrew Dice Clay or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Andrew Dice Clay did a lot of crowd work.
No, probably not. Mary, Mary, quite contrary.
Yeah, he just had his shtick and went up with it. No, I think that the emphasis on crowd work is because I think that a lot of the comedians around like the early 2000s, that's where the Louis C.K. time looked down on crowd work a lot.
Wow.
And so, but now it's seen as an important part of the act. And that, and in order to do good crowd work, you really have to connect with the audience.
Yeah. I mean, you have to get them engaged.
Well, you got to be really fucking quick too. So fucking quick.
You never know what you're going to hear and have to respond to. And yeah,
that's why I think you just have to be like a real seasoned to do it. Because
when you watch a bunch of the Jimmy Carr ones, you'll see that input A solicits output B. You know, you see a lot of patterns. It's still funny, but you see the patterns that he can use, the kind of the mechanics he uses to do
Sure. So. Everybody does that. Yeah. I mean, you that's a lot of, you know, doing this improv stuff is, and doing it constantly is to keep those muscles in tune, and you have go-tos, you have things like that, that you'll, I mean, you don't want to like repeat scenarios or repeat, like, there are some improv schools that are like, you can repeat characters, but we haven't really done any of that kind of stuff. UCB is not a character.
Has that happened in your classes where you or someone has like gone back to the same well too many times? And like, how do you handle that? Or hasn't it happened, or don't you worry about it?
I think we tend to be more explorative in class, so it really doesn't happen that often. I can't think of a time where it really happened, other than it was early in 101, I did try to do sort of a callback, and I was sort of told by a teacher, you know, right now we're not really focusing on that kind of stuff. So,
So I was going to ask about actual callbacks.
Mm-hmm. The idea behind a Herald is ultimately you get these three different games, but by the end, if you did it perfectly, then they all sort of come together and merge as a sort of idea, if it works perfectly, which is that's like, you know, it's like finding a diamond. It's rare, but it can happen. If it doesn't work perfectly, you still have a really funny show that maybe feels a little bit, it just doesn't have that amazing wow at the end, that gloriousness, but that's okay. I've seen seasoned Herald teams shit the bed all the time and still have a funny show, but just not get that link together.
Yeah.
Because the Herald is a hard form. It's probably the hardest, at least like the hardest structure to nail, but it's what the UCB sort of teaches as bread and butter. And I guess the idea being, if you can nail a Herald, then you can do anything else.
You can go on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
I mean, that's the thing is, UCB is not short form. They don't teach short form at all. So while I think a good improviser can do short form fine, I think that you still want to get good training in if you want to do it well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a different skill set entirely.
Yeah.
You're working on a much, because the game is provided to you and you don't have a base reality so much. So you just kind of have to flow in a very different way than at least that we're learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of both like Whose Line and Make Some Noise, you know, and it's, you invent it immediately on the prompt kind of thing and you can go, you know, it's not really much.
I mean, there's so much focus needs to be of finding the game that being told the game right away is just a very different philosophy entirely. Yeah. And you have to rewire your brain to kind of work with that.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. You want to get onto the show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's do so.